Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
John is the greatest person who was ever born. Isn't that amazing? Greater than Abraham and Moses and David. But any Christian alive today is greater than him. Who said this amazing thing? Jesus. And Jesus knows what he's talking about. Jesus knows people. And so, since Jesus said this amazing thing about John, no one's greater than him. I thought, man, maybe it's a good idea if we delve into John the Baptist a little bit. Maybe we can learn some greatness from him. How can we be more like him? I wonder if there are not a bunch of John the Baptist running around this church. I think there are. What impressed Jesus so much about John? Let's look at John's gospel. John, the writer of the Gospel of John. And we're going to read verses 6 through 9 and then 19 through 34. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed. And he did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you?" We need to give an answer to those who sent us. "What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Three things that make John great. First is, he knew who he was. Who was he? Letter A, a man sent from God. Verse 6. Now, God sends prophets all the time to his people in Israel. Just read the Old Testament. He sends reformers to a corrupt church like Martin Luther. He sends evangelists like John Wesley to spread the gospel to a nation. And he sent John the Baptist as a forerunner of his Christ. John burst on the scene from the desert. His dad was a priest, but he wasn't. He wasn't a Pharisee either. Those were the very religious laymen of Israel. He wasn't a Sadducee. Those were the guys that ran the temple in Jerusalem. He wasn't a rabbi. He wasn't a scribe. He wasn't a lawyer. He was unique. He wore a camel hair jacket and ate grasshoppers. You might say he was the first health food nut. He was a little different. And maybe you're a little different too. That's okay. God is sending you to your sphere of influence because he sent you to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus. B, he was a witness to the light. verses 7 and 8. He wasn't the light, but he pointed to the light. He reflected the light. Think of Jesus as the sun and John and you as the moon. You're not the light, but you reflect his light to others so that they may see Jesus through you and believe. See, he was a road builder. Verse 23. John quotes Isaiah, who said this 700 years earlier. Now, they didn't have freeways then. They did have roads. Most of them weren't very good. You just picked your rut and you kind of stayed in it the whole way. But when a king was coming to visit your town, they would go to the effort and make a completely new road. So Isaiah was prophesying something that John understood, that a king was coming, and so John needed to prepare a road for him. Not a literal road, but a road in human hearts. All the rough edges and unbelief that's in a heart, he was going to smooth that out so the king would have a clear pathway there. John was a road builder. He was a way maker. D, he was a baptizer. We see that in verses 24 to 26. This is what he was known for, a baptizer. They didn't call him John the locust eater, John the camel hair coat wearer. They called him John the baptizer. And by the way, he's not the founder of the Baptist denomination. They don't go quite that far back. So a contingent of religious leaders came out to John and they found him baptizing, which they found most unusual because Jews didn't get baptized. You see, they were already in. They were in the club. Only Gentile converts to Judaism were baptized. So John is saying they need to be cleansed. These Jews need cleansing. And that's what his baptism was. A baptism of cleansing. People would come to him and say, I repent of my sin. And he baptized them. So don't confuse this with our believer's baptism, which is for people who have already believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior. And now they're making a public profession of their faith in Christ. John's gospel didn't save these people. And believer's baptism doesn't save you either. Only your faith in Christ, death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead does that. Your baptism is a picture of what's happened to you inwardly. It's a beautiful symbol of dying to sin in the old man and being raised to newness of life in Christ. It's telling the world, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. He is my Lord. That's why we don't baptize babies here. Because they haven't believed yet in Christ. Believer's baptism is for those who believe on Jesus. We dedicate babies. So, if you need a baby or child dedicated to the Lord, let me know. And if you need to be baptized, let me know that too. Jesus told his disciples to baptize converts. So again, let me emphasize, if you've not been baptized, I encourage you to do so. Obey Christ's command as he commanded his disciples to baptize believers, then I encourage you. Don't dismiss it as, well, I'm already saved. Why should I be baptized? Or, I was baptized as an infant. Think about it and let me know. Okay, so John was a baptizer. He knew who he was. Secondly, this about John. He knew who he wasn't. He knew who he wasn't. Letter A, he wasn't the Messiah. We see that in verse 20. That's what the word Christ means, the Messiah or anointed one. Lots of people were going out to John. He was attracting crowds. The religious leaders were jealous of that. I think they were also afraid that people might be deceived because there had been many false Christs, false messiahs before. So to give them a little bit of credit here, maybe they were checking him out to make sure he wasn't a false Christ that would deceive people. The Jews were expecting a messiah that would defeat the Romans. So that's why Jesus wasn't accepted. He came to forgive sins, not conquer people. So they rejected him. But they were inquiring, John, are you the Christ? And he said, no, I'm not. B, he wasn't Elijah. In verse 21, it tells us that. Elijah was that fiery Old Testament prophet. It says this in Malachi 4:5 about Elijah. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. So as we're curious about the last book of our Bibles, the New Testament, the book of Revelation, the Jews were curious about the last book of their word, Malachi. And they knew that before the Lord would come, he would send Elijah. So they were wondering, could John be Elijah? But he says, no, I'm not. But Jesus said he was. Remember this in Matthew 17, 12 to 13? But I tell you that Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. That sounds at first glance like a contradiction. So John was telling them, I'm not the literal Elijah of the Old Testament that is coming before the Lord comes back. So John told the truth. But so did Jesus. I understand that passage in light of Luke 1:17. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. This is speaking of John at his birth. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. I think that verse makes it all clear. John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He was just like him. So two comings, two heralds of that coming. John the Baptist before the first coming and Elijah before the second coming of Jesus. Okay, letter C. He was not the prophet. Also verse 21. Who's the prophet? This is a reference clearly to Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. This is Moses. From among you, from your brothers, it is to him you shall listen. People were almost worshiping Moses. And he said, a true prophet is going to come, who's going to be God's Messiah. And that was fulfilled in Jesus. John is saying, I'm not the prophet that Moses spoke of. A big question occurs then in verse 22. Who are you? What if someone asked you that? Who are you? Well, I'm the mother of three children. I'm a school teacher. And John could say many things to that question. I had a miraculous birth. I'm the son of a priest. I was filled with the Spirit while I was still in my mother's womb. I eat locusts. I'm a baptizer. I'm a bold prophet who tells the truth. And John was indeed all those things. But I love his answer. I'm a voice. Such a simple answer. Such a humble answer. Just a voice. He didn't say, I'm a prophet like Elijah, though he was. He didn't say, I'm a preacher of the gospel, though he was. He was just a voice. John is saying, don't be impressed with my credentials. Be impressed with my message. John had a purpose for his life, and he knew it. John knew who he was and who he wasn't. He wasn't trying to be someone that he wasn't, and he wasn't trying to inflate himself with other people's expectations or titles that they wanted to give him. And that made him great. So when people ask you, who are you? You need to know your purpose. Are you a voice? Are you a light? Are you a witness? Are you a Jesus follower? Are you a prayer? You need to figure that out. What's my purpose? Why have I been sent by God? Here's the third thing that made John great. He knew who Jesus was. If you're going to be great, you have to know that. Who is Jesus? The more you know Jesus, the greater you're going to be. The more you understand the depths of the cross, the greater you're going to be. the more you understand and walk in resurrection power, the greater Christian you're going to be. That's greatness. And I was amazed at how much John the Baptist understood about who Jesus was. He hadn't been hanging out with him. He had been out in the desert. He didn't have the New Testament to read like we do. Yet he had amazing insights into who Jesus was. Letter A. He knew Jesus' presence. In verse 26, we see that. He says, among you stands. And that's in the present tense, so continuous action in the present. John is saying Jesus is standing right here now, but he hadn't met Jesus yet. The next day, Jesus came to John to be baptized, but he said, among you stands this person. That's a great thing to say. And we could say that with certainty this morning as well. Among us stands Jesus. He's here. His word says, if two or three of you have gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the midst of you. Every moment he's standing there for you, even at work, even when the kids are screaming and crying, he's there with you. He's gone ahead of you. You may not feel him, but he's standing there. He's with you. John knew that. And of course, John experienced Jesus' presence while he was still in the womb. Luke 1:41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Take a look at this drawing. Do we have that on the slide? Oh, that's not the one I wanted. That's okay. The one I saw that I love so much is a picture of pregnant Mary with a very small baby in her womb and a much more pregnant Elizabeth. And it shows in the picture, you could look it up on Google Pictures and you could find it. It's a lovely picture. It's so wonderful. These two pregnant moms hugging each other and their babies moving inside of them. So, but you get the picture. You get the idea by me describing it there. Here's letter B. John knew Jesus' greatness. Verse 27. John said of this man Jesus, the strap of his sandal I'm not worthy to untie. What John is doing there is comparing himself to the lowest slave in the household whose responsibility to wash the dirty feet of the guests as they came in for dinner. And that's what Jesus did. Remember at the Last Supper for the disciples who wouldn't do that for each other or for him. So he got down and performed that work of the slave. John says, Jesus is so great that I'm nothing by comparison to him. I'm just like the lowest slave possible. Now, what I find interesting about this is Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. They were relatives. I wonder if they ever played together or ever got together. Now, we know our relatives, right? We usually don't think they're great because we know them. So even though John and Jesus are relatives, he says, he's so great, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. See, he knew Jesus' purpose. Verse 29. This is great imagery that John uses and would have really resonated with his first century audience. Jesus is like the sacrificial lambs in the temple. You know, the lamb that you have to take. Sometimes maybe almost like a family pet, this lamb has become to you. You take that and you offer that on the altar and that animal dies. That innocent animal dies for your sin. John is saying that's Jesus. I also think there's imagery there of the Passover lamb, which would have really resonated with his Jewish listeners. Remember when our forefathers were slaves in Egypt and God commanded them to take the lamb and slaughter it and put its blood, remember, over the doorposts? And when the angel of death would pass through that night, whose ever home did not have the blood over it, the firstborn would die. But the Jewish people were protected by that blood, right? So John is saying, that's Jesus. He's the Passover lamb. His blood saves us from our sins. He came to take away the sins of the world. I don't think anyone had seen this before John this clearly, to say that about Jesus. And that's why he's great. D, he knew Jesus' nature. in verse 30. He ranks before me because he was before me. If you saw the picture of the pregnant Elizabeth and pregnant Mary, John was 6 months older than Jesus. Yet the depth of his understanding here I found to be very profound. He was older than Jesus, yet he says he came before me. He ranks above me because he was before me. He knew Jesus existed before he was born, even though he knew I'm older than him. Wow. Unless Jesus told him that, how did he know that? He knew Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. We see that in verses 32 and 3. In the gospel accounts, all four writers, God speaks audibly twice. First time at Jesus' baptism, the second time at Jesus' transfiguration. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus at his baptism, and John heard God's voice say, "This is my beloved Son." Now, the word baptize means to dip underwater or to immerse. So when we believe, we're immersed in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one Spirit. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one Spirit." He comes into our hearts to live. We're baptized with the Spirit. And then many, many numerous fillings of the Spirit are open to us. So John understood that Jesus would give the Holy Spirit to those who came to him. John understood the Trinity somehow. God's voice he heard from heaven. Jesus, the God-man before him, about to be baptized. And the Holy Spirit who lighted on him in the appearance of a dove. How did John know about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that was going to occur because of Jesus' coming? F. He knew Jesus was divine. Verse 34. This is the Son of God. This is God the Son. John announced that and understood that before any other person in the New Testament. That's why he's the greatest. We got one more passage I want us to look at that says something else about John the Baptist. It's chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon near Salim because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and asked him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." I think this passage beautifully shows John's greatness as well. Right here could have been a situation where there was competition. I'm baptizing, Jesus is baptizing in his disciples. Almost like a competition. Maybe I should try harder to baptize more. Maybe I should be upset because somebody else has come on the scene who's now usurping me. But that's not his attitude at all. John was humble, and I think that made him great. Humility is a rare and beautiful virtue. It's not that common. John wasn't upset. He wasn't jealous. He just simply called himself, "Hey, I'm the friend of the bridegroom." The person who stands inside the door of the bridal house. And when the bridal couple comes to the house, he hears the voice of the bridegroom Then only he opens the door, he lets them in, and then he exits. He leaves the house. He took the lesser position. He said, I'm not the star of the wedding. The bridegroom is. And then he concludes in verse 30 with a beautiful summary of his mindset and his life. He must increase and I must decrease. Is that your motto for life? I think most of us, we want to be great. We kind of want to be the star of the show. We want to be in the limelight rather than take that lesser position. The road to greatness is paved with humility. That's how one becomes great. And John knew that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the forerunner, for John the Baptist and his story. We can really learn a lot from him. Jesus was right. He was a great man. But Lord, because we have the Holy Spirit in us that John did not have, as pretty much the last Old Testament prophet, we have greatness in us because you're in us. It's not because of us. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it because you dwell in us. Lord, help us to understand the pathway of humility as we go through life. That you must continually increase in our life and we decrease. We open the door for you to come in. Minister to us today that virtue, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Let's stand together and end today with victory in Jesus. Wonder how many times.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.